From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. This week, Google is in the news a lot, negotiating new deals, preparing to release a new phone. Today, we're going to talk with Google's CEO about a new initiative in the non-internet world. It's a partnership with General Electric. The goal is to build renewable energy plants, promote plug-in electric cars, and to transform the nation's electricity grid. It involves research and lobbying. The program was announced yesterday by Google's Eric Schmidt and GE's Jeff Immelt. I asked Eric Schmidt what a company that's accustomed to Ethernet cables knows about the transmission of electricity.
Well, of course, we're a big consumer of this stuff. And so we've been studying it because we want to make sure that we're doing the right things. And the story's not good. The electrical grid and the power transmission has had very little investment over the last 20 or 30 years. While all of us have ended up with our digital cameras and mobile phones and all of that, the underlying infrastructure that we use has not had the kind of technology investment that it should have.
Now, in this partnership between Google and GE, help me understand the role that each company will take, because GE is a company that does have fuel-fired power plants.
Well, GE, of course, has traditional divisions, and GE, in fact, builds nuclear power plants and other things like that, and natural gas plants and so forth, which we're not involved in at all. So I'll let them talk about that. In our partnership, GE, and to Jeff Immelt's credit, he personally has led the initiative in America for businesses to become more efficient with respect to energy and in particular the use of renewable energy. So from their perspective, this is another step forward in getting their message across. Is it good for the country? Absolutely. Is it good for General Electric and Google? Of course it is. But what's wrong with that?
I was wondering if there was some moment where you walked into a room, you know, filled with servers and you had some sort of epiphany. We've got to do something about this.
I wish that were true. I think we felt that way when we had exactly one server.
Ah.
So from the standpoint of growing up in a technology space and looking at how things are used, there's an awful lot of waste around us. And Google, of course, is contributing to that by virtue of the data centers that we have. For a while, what we tried to do was to put our data centers near dams, because dams have often excess electrical load and capacity, and servers are perfectly happy to be next to the dam, next to the power lines. But we've run out of places to do that kind of power. And the broader issues are compelling. If you assume that the two largest issues in the world are the possibility of death by nuclear bomb, you know, nuclear proliferation, and climate change over a 50 to 100-year period in terms of the number of people who are going to affect at least one of the two most important things in the world in the form of the things that we're doing to the planet. And so we can help.
Now, there are, as you know, big problems in the stock market. Google has not been amused. The stock is worth a little bit more than half of what it was late last year. Are you concerned that your board or the investors might get cold feet?
Very much not. We take a very long-term view at Google. And when we discuss the kinds of things that we're discussing right now, understand that the energy prices drive the costs of Google. So if we can spend money now to save money in the future, that ultimately produces better long-term shareholder value, which is the job of the CEO and the board.
Eric Schmidt, you said that by the year 2030, the U.S. should be using renewable energy for 100% of its power generation. Does this kind of partnership represent a step in that direction, and is that a realistic goal?
Our math says that it's more than realistic, it's conservative. And because we're assuming constant use as opposed to improvements from efficiency for power. And I would argue to you that here we are, we're having this great debate about what to do. The economy is slowing. Everybody's upset. Presidential candidates are talking about this or that. Why don't we take the engine of the federal government, put together a stimulus package to try to redo the energy infrastructure of the United States? Now think about it. It would create a lot of jobs. A lot of high-paying jobs. The jobs would be in interesting places where there's a joblessness issue, rural areas, places with a lot of wind and a lot of solar and a lot of heat. And all of those would contribute to energy security. The next wars are all going to be about oil, aren't they? Why don't we just remove that from the equation? And as a byproduct, really make a dent in this climate change issue.
Eric Schmidt, it's been good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on.
That was Google CEO Eric Schmidt.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Leiden.
My neighbor's garage blew away, and on that time we still got electricity, but when this garage blew away, took off all the cables, and it was terrible.
It was terrible. Electrical cable lines blown down, strewn on the ground, no power. And then there was this man who lost the first floor of his home.
Downstairs is gone. Downstairs is completely underwater. But yeah, I mean, there ain't no way. It's probably going to take about 2-3 days.
Those people were in the path of Hurricane Ike, and it was a rough place to be. Ferocious winds and pelting rains accompanied the storm as it arrived at Galveston, Texas, early this morning. It then moved on to Houston, where NPR's Mandalit Del Barco witnessed Ike's full fury.
The storm is said to have been as big as Texas itself, and as you know, President Bush has declared a major disaster in the state, and he's ordered immediate federal aid. The oil refineries around Texas are closed, and that's likely to mean less gas at the pumps across the country. But here in Texas, homes and buildings and roads are flooded, especially along the Gulf Coast, and 22% of the entire state is without power. Here's Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff talking to reporters today.
One of the critical challenges we're going to have is power, and the state is working very hard with the energy companies to get that power up as quickly as possible. Once that happens, it'll make it easier to conduct recovery operations.
So that was the Homeland Security Secretary, Michael Chertoff, talking about recovery operations. With so many people staying behind, what do those recovery operations look like? Who have you talked to?
Well, the Coast Guard and the National Guard is here. They're helping state and local rescue crews, and they continue to go out in trucks and helicopters and boats searching out people to rescue thousands of people who did not leave their homes despite the mandatory evacuations. The search and rescue crews are trying to help them by water and air. And as they continue to find people on rooftops and attics and their pets, FEMA teams are just beginning to assess the damage. The recovery has just begun, but the storm isn't over yet.
Thank you very much, NPR's Mandalit Del Barco in Houston. NPR's Ari Shapiro is in Houston, and NPR's Carrie Kahn is in Baytown, Texas. Ari, let's begin with you. I understand that you tried to get to Galveston when I came ashore early this morning. What happened?
Well, on the main interstate going down there, Interstate 45, there was a stretch of a couple miles outside of Galveston that was completely covered with what I can only describe as the artifacts of people's lives. It was everything from upside-down boats to small things like Christmas ornaments and stuffed animals, completely making the interstate impassable. And as you walked through it, you just saw really these artifacts of, you know, people's homes that had all been blown up there by the hurricane.
What did people tell you?
You know, what was amazing was what they would have considered good fortune. They were saying to me, gosh, I just hope our second story isn't flooded. And I would say, well, your second story, what about the first story? And they would say, oh, well, we know the first story is flooded. We accepted that. But we're just hoping the second story is okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Ari. Let's go to Carrie Kahn in Baytown. That's about 30 miles outside of Houston at the top of Galveston Bay. Carrie, what's the scene there?
I'm at the Waterfront District Public Boat Ramp, and it's quite a sight. There are dozens of boats that have broken from the pylons, which just disintegrated, and they are stacked up on top of each other almost to the road here in Baytown. It's just a devastating sight of rubble and boats, and they look like all those scenes you see from hurricanes when they're all stacked up one right after the other.
What else have you seen?
We've traveled through a lot of Houston out to the water's edge out of Galveston Bay, and everywhere we see there are down power lines, there are trees just snapped in half, there are very few people out once you get closer to the bay side. We did see some stragglers, some people that rode it out and heard of terrifying nights of windows cracking and just fearful for their lives, but they're glad that they're here and they're staying put. We saw a lot of people trying to do the little cleanup that they could. There is no power anywhere, and they were just raking up debris, trying to cut through branches, and really trying to just wait it out until the authorities can come and help them and bring back the power.
We've got just under a minute left. You still with us, Ari? Carrie, what else can you tell us? Anything else?
I think people are just, you hear a mixed relief that they made it through the storm, but also now the hard work begins. One woman told us, said we went through the worst, but then you look around and you see how much cleanup there is in Houston and in the outlying areas, especially in by these bayous and waterways where there has been flooding and people's lives are, it's going to take a long time to clean up this mess.
NPR's Carrie Kahn in Baytown, Texas, and Ari Shapiro is in Houston. Thanks very much to both of you.
You're welcome.
Good to talk to you.